Thank you, brother. I'd like to share a few thoughts on the miracle of the new birth. Let's pause and pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We thank you, Father, for the testimony, Lord, of your child who has known you as Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for your saving grace towards us. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And Lord, we are thankful for the gospel. We are thankful that we can be born again. We thank you that we can be born from above. Father, we pray as we read your word this evening, as we seek to understand it, Lord, it would be made plain. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would teach us, would instruct us, and Lord, help us that we would inherit eternal life. We would be born again. We thank you, Lord, that that offer is for all. And Father, we look to you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. We consider what the miracle of the new birth is. And breaking it down, first consider a miracle. And talking to people, often people will agree with you that miracles do happen. Supernatural things happen. You know, most people would believe in a miracle of some form or another. And as I think about people in the world, even those who would follow evolution have to believe in a miracle. Darwin said when he was looking at some of the creatures around, he reasoned that early seas had swarmed with living creatures, but their fossils had not been found due to the imperfection of the fossil record. Darwin went on to say, to the question of why we don't find rich fossil deposits beginning to these assumed earliest periods, I can give no satisfactory answer. To believe evolution is to believe a miracle, to believe something came from nothing. You see, Darwin rejected the miracle of creation and sought to explain everything outside of God. He sought to reject what God had said in the Bible, the miracle that God had created in 6 days. And explain it away with his miracle of time, millions and millions and billions of years. That was what Darwin was putting his miracle on. Yet there was another miracle we would say that Darwin would have had to believe. And he said that no organism wholly soft can be preserved. Yet we've found jellyfish fossilized. You know? He said that it's not possible, and yet it is. Was that a miracle? The world is in search for a miracle that will explain life. The search for this extraterrestrial intelligence is trying to shift the problem about where we came from. As I said, it shifts the problem, the Big Bang, life elsewhere. It doesn't solve anything. It just shifts us away from the creator of the earth. Miracles. In common language, if we're talking about miracle, we often say, we can use it in the term of a marvel or a wonder, the wonder or the miracle of modern science. But the Bible, when speaking of miracles, is speaking of in terms of the following. Webster's defines a miracle as an event or an effect contrary to the established constitution and course of things. It's a contravention of natural laws. Man lives, man dies. Anything other than that is a miracle. Water does not just turn into wine or strong juice as recorded in the scripture. That's a miracle. Life doesn't come from non-life. Louis Pasteur proved that. Life is a miracle. A person who was made to see, that's a miracle. It doesn't just happen. And how about baptism? Is that a miracle? Many suppose that baptism is a miracle that will produce some supernatural event or some guarantee of forgiveness. We don't see that in Scripture. Baptism is not a miracle. It is an act by choice by a person who has experienced that miracle of being born again. Being born again. We have this in our passage this evening in John 3:16. John 3, 1 to 16, we see Nicodemus, this ruler, come to Jesus. He came and said to him, "You have to be from God. You have to come from God. No one can do what you've done. No one can do the miracles that you have done except God is with him." And the Lord responds. And the Lord could have responded in a number of ways, but he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born from above. The Lord is saying to Nicodemus, this miracle of heaven, of knowing God, is only possible when you're born again. If you're talking about miracles, I'll give you a miracle. A new start. Nicodemus was perplexed. He says, "How can this be? How can a man be born when he is old?" To be born is to be born again is to have a fresh start, a new start. And the Lord responds again in verse 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He was saying the start of this is the new birth. It's to be washed through the Holy Spirit. In Titus 3:5 we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Nicodemus still troubled. Verse 9 he says, "How can these things be? How can these things be?" And I think equally many in the world are confused today at the scriptures. Many get confused about this new birth. Many don't understand this concept of a new birth and are just as perplexed as Nicodemus was. But the scriptures reveal quite clearly what is this new birth, what is to be born again. That leads me to understanding what is that miracle. What else does the scripture say about the kingdom of God? What else does the scripture tell us about the new birth? Turn with me to Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. This gives us an insight into the kingdom of God. Gives us a link to help us understand that. And it says in verse 15 of Luke 18, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. When his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." See, the children were brought to Christ and he said, "Unless you receive my kingdom like these little children, you can't enter therein. You cannot be born again." The key in here is the little child or an infant. And as I pondered that thought, I thought, what are some things specific to infants that would help us out as adults? You know, what are some things? I think there are three things we see in an infant. We see dependence, we see helplessness, and we see a moldable and tenderness. And these three relate to being born again. See, dependence leads us to repentance. Dependence leads us to repentance. Helplessness leads us to receive Christ. Moldable or tenderness leads us to believe in Christ. These three things that are specific to infants. So how about dependence? First of these is to be dependent. Dependent is described as relying upon or subject to something else for support. Not able to exist or sustain itself. or to perform anything without the will, power, or aid of something else, not self-sustaining. It's a pretty comprehensive list of what it is to be dependent. You know, the world's in the business of telling us to live independent of God. The world is telling us that we can live independent of God and His authority and enjoy life. That is not true. That is not true. The world tells us to live independent of God, but the scriptures teach us the exact opposite. As an adult, our independence often leads us to say things like, I'm not as bad as them. I mean, I haven't done anything as bad as that person. I'm good enough for God. See, the one problem with that was that when Jesus was addressing Nicodemus, he was addressing one of the chief rulers of the people. He didn't just say to him, well, Nicodemus, if you're born again, you can enter the kingdom of God. He said, except a man. It was universal. He didn't say to Nicodemus, well, you haven't been that bad. You've had a pretty good upbringing. He said, except a man be born again. It's interesting that straight after this passage in Luke 18, we have the account of the rich young ruler. We see in verse 18 of the same chapter, Luke 18, reading from verse 18 to 23, we see this idea of dependence coming out. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This, another ruler comes to Jesus for clarification. What are you saying? You're telling us to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. But he says, what do I do to inherit eternal life? As if it was something different. You're just talking to that crowd. Well, what about me, he says. The Lord says, sell all you have and follow me. Give up your independence. Depend on me and my ways. Not only that, but give up your ability to make the money. Give it up and follow me. You see, the young man knew what the Lord was saying. He says he went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. But Christ was telling him that his self-dependence is in direct opposition to Christ. He had to give that up. He had to turn around and he had to repent. He had to depend on Christ. Dependence. The Lord said to another group, just back in Luke chapter 13 and verse 1, they thought they were good. They thought, you know, we're not as bad as them. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 1, read, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And of the 18 of whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. See, the Galileans, according to Josephus, were recorded as a tumultuous and rebellious people. so they're ready on all occasions to rise against the Roman authority. And so when these people came to the Lord and said, hey, they're pretty bad, aren't they? That's why it happened. The Lord said, it's universal. This need of repentance is universal. Yes, little children are dependent. Infants are dependent. Have we received the kingdom of God as a little child? The second aspect of an infant is to be helpless. This is described as without help in oneself, destitute of the power or means to succor or relieve oneself. An infant truly is helpless. You know, anyone who's had a child can say that. I don't think as a single sort of fellow you can say, you know, understand fully that a child's helpless unless you've seen it. But an infant is truly and utterly helpless. They can't feed themselves. They can't clean themselves. They can't even love themselves. I mean, what is there to love? They're helpless. So how does an infant survive? They must receive everything they need for life from the hand of another. The scripture declares that the human race is helpless. Romans 6:23, we know well, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages, the consequence of sin, our choice, our action is death. It's the inability in ourselves to live forever. Sin brings a universal and total helplessness to the complete human race. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. How amazing that we have a God rich in mercy. We have a God who sees us in our rebellion, sees us in our independence, and says, I offer my son for you. I offer him for you to receive. John 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John's saying here that those person who has received Christ, they're no longer helpless. They're no longer unable to live. They now possess the ability to live eternally. To live eternally. Helpless. The third aspect of an infant is to be tender or to be easily impressed. Now we know that to be true. The scripture makes it clear how important it is to train children. But I came across something as I, you know, look at technology and the whole virtual reality and that in technology computers. And they did a few studies about children and how how tender they were. Basically, they're trying to figure out how virtual reality will fit in and how it can be used, but where it's dangerous. But a report said this. This study found that some primary students, school-age students, exposed to the virtual reality environment of a swimming with orcas, so a swimming with a whale, developed a false memory of the experience. The media richness of the mental imagery was high enough to be confused with the richness of an event in the physical world. In another experiment, 50% of the school-aged children believed that an experience in virtual reality was real 1 week after being put in the VR environment. So children are tender and impressionable. We know that. But this aspect of being tender to believe in Christ, we see in Romans 2:4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, hardness and impenitent heart will prevent someone from coming to be born again. The Lord dealt with that in his disciples. He said in Mark 16:14, after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Hardness of heart and unbelief. To be born again is to come to Christ, tender, moldable, believing. See, adults grow up seeing sin and brokenness and say, I can't believe that. Because I see brokenness, I've been broken. I will not believe the Bible because of the stain and the pain I have felt. I cannot believe God because I have been let down before. But God exhorts us to come as little children, believing him. Turn with me to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 deals with this of believing. How we are to come to this new birth. How we are to come to this salvation. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe, this aspect of tenderness. We must come to the new birth believing. Believing everything the scripture reveals about God. Believing that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, those who receive him. It's a verse I struggle with at times to think, how could God reward a sinner? How could God reward me for coming to him? There it is in the word. This often prevents people from coming to Christ, this stubbornness and hardness of heart. But as many as received him, in John 1:12, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We must come to this new birth believing. Have you personally been born again? Have you personally experienced the miracle of the new birth? It appears Nicodemus did. I'm not going to, it doesn't say exactly, but it says in John 19 that he came after the Lord was crucified. John 19 and verse 39. After the Lord had died and it was time for his burying, it says, and there came also Nicodemus in verse 39. Which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. He brought about 32 kilos of these aloes and myrrh. He had an impact upon him. Has the miracle of the new birth occurred in your life? Have you personally come to Christ? Dependent, helpless, and believing. Don't be fooled into believing that this life is all there is. Life itself is a miracle. Every man, woman, and child is in a desperate state of needing a second miracle to be born again. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Amen.